Hi, I'm Valerie, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains. Welcome to The Beauty Brains, a show where real cosmetic chemists answer your beauty product questions and give you an insider's look at the cosmetic industry. This is episode 320. I'm your host, Valerie George, and with me today is Perry Romanowski. Hi, Perry.
Hey, Valerie. You know, I feel like 320, we should be talking about CBD, but I guess we don't have a CBD
I think that's 420.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
But speaking of four, we do have four questions on today's show, and we're going to answer them. They're about, what do we think of the effectiveness of the brand Revela? Is there any evidence that electric currents improve results of skincare? Why aren't all exfoliators rinse-off products? And is there anything special about products from the brand 2020?
2020, that was a TV show, right? Are we talking about the TV show?
It could be interesting because I think there's only like mysteries on that show or like unsolved people crimes. I'm not sure.
Wait, is that show still on? 2020?
Oh, I don't know. It was Barbara Walters, right?
Right. It was Barbara Walters. I just assumed it would be off the air by now because it'd be like 40 years or something if it's still on. Maybe it's still on. I don't know.
Who knows? So what's going on with you this week?
All right, big news on the Porch Kitty front. Okay. Remember the little kitten that I call Tiny Tux?
Yeah.
She was coming in my house, and I closed the door, and I caught her.
Wait a second. It's a her. Yeah. You checked.
Well, I didn't know it was a her.
Yeah, because you were calling it him.
Right. Yeah. For some reason, I assume a tuxedo cat is a him, and now, the second time, I found out this tuxedo cat is a her. And so she's in my house.
But she liked coming inside. She was daring in coming inside before.
She was daring. I would give her little snacks, but she wouldn't let me get too close. You know, she'd always have that out. But I shut the door, and then she couldn't get out because I had an appointment for her to get her spay or neutered. It turns out spayed. So I put gloves on, thankfully, to catch her. And so she was scared, and I grabbed her. She started scratching me, and then she bit me, like, aww, hard. But I got her in the cage, and I got her fixed. And then she got fixed, she got a clip on the ear, and I was worried that she was, you know, going to run away and never come back, but she comes back now.
So she's spayed, you did your due diligence, she's back in the wild.
She's spayed, she's chipped, and she's vaccinated. Aww. And back in the wild. Yeah.
You're a good Porch Kitty dad.
Well, I don't need more Porch Kitties. There's already like five of them.
But she's clipped on the ear so that they know she's been taken care of.
Exactly. So just on sight, you can see, oh, it's... if you ever see a cat that has a clipped ear, they probably were caught and trapped, neutered, and then released.
Aww.
And little Tiny Tux also has a little chip inside her. That's related to me and has the name Tiny Tux, so I guess it'll stick. Well, yeah. So only like four more cats to catch.
Yeah, I think she's going to spread the word, though. She's like, do not go in there.
You know what? I thought the same thing. She was back the next day looking in the house, looking to come in.
Aww.
So she got over it pretty quick, I guess.
Well, they probably gave her good drugs.
Yeah, they did.
A warm space and a hot meal.
Well, we spent all our time doing cat talk, so I guess we don't have any time for any beauty science news.
No, so let's head over to beauty questions.
Yeah, in fact, this is a holiday week. I mean, most podcasts are doing best of, and we're here. We're doing a new show, right?
You know, we usually do a best of, so we don't want to be too hypocritical. But this year we said, you know what, let's record a unique episode because we can. I don't have the ties of work. Usually I'm traveling this week for work. But, you know, we're just thankful for everyone who listens to the show. So we're going to give you guys a brand new episode.
We are thankful. And you know what I think I'm going to do, Valerie? I might release a video version of this for our patrons.
Maybe not this one. Maybe next time. Are you looking at me? Are you kidding? Oh, my gosh. You guys should have seen my face. I was like, what?
I should have run that by you first. All right. Well, we're gonna get some videos someday. All right. We ready for some questions?
Yeah. Our first question is from Julia. She says, "What is your opinion on the effectiveness of the brand Revela? I have very fine hair and I've never had much of it, so I have concerns for my future appearance. Well, thanks, Julia. Well, Perry, can you reveal much about Ravella? Ravella.
Well, Valerie, I think we talked about Ravella some episodes ago. Somebody asked about Ravella compared to either Living Proof or Olaplex or one of those.
Oh, you know, I don't remember. That's how memorable it was.
That's right. But we did not do a deep dive into Ravella. So thank you for this question, Julia. And we looked at it. And I got to say, reading about this brand just kind of made me angry.
Oh, uh-oh.
And
why?
Well, first of all, the claims they make. Honestly, I don't know how they get away with the claim, quote, a groundbreaking discovery that directly targets dormant hair follicles, reawakening them and keeping your hair rooted in the process, supporting thicker, fuller hair. Now, I get the, okay, supporting thicker, fuller hair. That's
thicker, fuller looking hair.
Exactly. So that's just a puffery claim for sure. But the part about the discovery directly targets dormant follicles and reawakening them, that sure sounds like a body function claim to me and bordering on a drug claim, right?
I really like it because it's like, shh, hello, little dormant hair follicles. It's time for you to wake up now and grow.
Oh, my God. So presumably they have lawyers who let them get away with it or something.
I think it's a big presumption.
Is that too? I mean, I guess the thing is the FDA is kind of strapped for resources, and they're not going to throw a lot of resources behind chasing down every hair growth thing on the internet, right?
Yeah, but do you know who could? Me and you.
We could.
Yeah, we should work for the FDA. Warning letter, warning. Signed the Beauty Brains.
Just do that. Yes, we'll just do that through our podcast and maybe somebody out there in Beauty Brains land. All right, but now they also have, you know, the thing is you look at their website, it's a nice looking website.
It's very beautiful.
They have people, scientists who are involved. They say people from MIT and from Harvard, and they used AI technology to look through all this stuff. There's a lot of science washing going on here. For sure. And then I read up on their blog, and they're also a nutraceuticals company. So you have the topical treatment, which is a cosmetic, but any sort of ingestible is, a supplement. And, you know, in the United States, supplements, the regulation of supplements are just tepid, if there are any regulations at all. I mean, you know, really, anybody can pretty much sell anything and call it anything they want, and the FDA isn't going to come after them unless, you know, somebody dies. So, you know, you could be...
Even then, it might take a couple people to die.
Even then, there was
that's
that
how
weight loss thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't have any faith in any supplement companies, and especially one who's selling you hair growth stuff. Now, they say, you know, these... They talk about their nutraceuticals. I was reading their blog, and this is what they said about it. They said, you know, we don't get our things FDA approved, so that means it's up to the consumer to decide whether the product is safe and effective.
Well, first of all, the FDA doesn't need to approve it. There's no pre-market approval. In fact, the FDA would say you actually are not approved to say these things.
Well, I would say if their product is going to make drug claims, then they would have to be FDA approved. You know, they have to go through the NDA or whatever and that whole process. And so they specifically say, oh, we're not going to go through that process. So instead of having the FDA approve things, we'll just leave it up to the consumers to decide if these things are safe and effective. And, you know, do you think consumers are equipped to decide whether some chemical they're putting on themselves is safe?
Have you seen TikTok?
Sadly, I've seen some of
it. I mean, it's like, no way.
But even the learned people out in Beauty Brains land, I mean, even me, if I go to the store and I buy something, it can't be up to me to decide, oh, is this safe to use? I mean, I should be able to assume that, yeah, if it's on the market, it's safe to use, right?
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's interesting. So I took a look at one of their growth serums, or revival serums, I should say, wake-up serums, whatever they want to call it. And, sure. You know, it looks like a pretty good scalp serum as far as the base goes. The first handful of ingredients are really about getting the ingredients into the scalp. We have a couple solvents, propane diol. We have alcohol, which, you know, helps the product be very light and evaporate from the scalp. We have dimethyl isosorbide, which is a penetration enhancer, ethoxydiglycol, a penetration enhancer, glycerin. Yeah. And then we get into the juicy stuff, the ingredients. And the main active is their procellanil technology, which is furanil, methyl thio, methyl sulfanil triazole, which to me doesn't look like your average cosmetic ingredient. And in fact, it's not. It's actually a prostaglandin analog, which the Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board says, hey, this is a prostaglandin derivative. It's an eyelash conditioning agent, possibly for eyelash growth. And they haven't reviewed this for safety yet. Now, there are other prostaglandins on the market. And in fact, clinical trials of one synthetic prostaglandin were part of an ion glaucoma treatment. And they found it promoted eyelash growth. And in fact, this one prostaglandin is currently sold as a prescription drug in the U.S. for eyelash growth.
Under the brand name Latisse, yeah.
And we know that when you use these either prostaglandins or analogs of them in cosmetics, there may be some unwanted side effects. And that happened with the Rodan and Fields incident, which we've talked about on the podcast before. So these are pretty serious ingredients to use. Now, I know we're not using this on the eye area. It's going on your scalp hair. But still, these are really active materials. And they haven't been approved yet for hair growth. And in fact, the Cosmetic Ingredient Review Board, which is an independent panel, nor the scientific committee in the EU has given a stamp of approval yet on these. So that's one thing I noticed. The other thing is...
certainly concerning.
They do have red clover flower extract and a bunch of other stuff in there. And red clover flower extract purportedly helps regrow hair. As well, also a drug claim, which you're not supposed to make, but well, there's a lot of stuff in here.
I got two things. First of all, the people who make Latisse are a pharmaceutical company, right? And they sell the product already as an eyelash regrowth thing.
Yeah.
Don't you think that if it was actually effective for affecting, you know, the hair on your head, there'd be a product from them using that technology on people's head? Right.
Oh, they'd be capitalizing on that in a second, especially since they've already done so much of the framework for use in other areas. Yeah,
exactly. So what does that tell you about that technology? Probably that it doesn't have much effect on people's head. So maybe it works on the eyelashes, but it doesn't work on your head for whatever reason. So that's what I would take from that. Obviously, Revella takes, but doesn't consider that. All right, then the other piece that I have. So if this is such a groundbreaking technology, why do they have 17 more ingredients in there, right? Why wouldn't you just have the one ingredient and it's doing the thing? But no, you throw in panthenol, aloe, resveratrol. This is
Penex,
like...
ginseng extract.
Yes.
Caffeine.
The pine bark extract, the olive leaf extract, the red clover, like... why do you need 17 more ingredients if this one technology is so way out there, so performing so great? And I'll tell you why. I mean, my own opinion. I don't have any inside their knowledge. It's just something for the marketing people to talk about.
You mean they don't want to talk about that prostaglandin?
Probably not.
It's not sexy.
It's certainly questionable. I guess that doesn't answer the question. Do we think this works?
Probably not. I mean, it's probably, you know, something nice to believe in, but I wouldn't put too much hope in it. I wouldn't, based on my experience creating products like this.
And there's no reason to think that, beyond what they say on the website, there's no reason to think that they, because if it did work... first of all, you wouldn't have to really market it that hard because, well, it just works. Second of all, they would get FDA approval. If you're like, hey, I got this hair growth thing, let me get FDA approval. It's totally worth the small amount of money you got to pay because it would be a huge thing, right?
Yeah, you'd make billions.
And then there's two other red flags for me. And this, first of all, it's a subscription model.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something always to me sketchy about subscription models with products. But okay, you know, that's not completely sketchy. But how about their refund policy?
Oh yeah, that was bad.
Okay. So I was reading their refund policy. They're like, hey, we give a refund. Okay, up to 120 days. Now you got to use the product for 60 days.
Yeah.
And to get the refund,
uh-huh.
they say, you have to first, before you use the product, you have to take photos of your hair, like on day one. And then you have to use it for 60 days. And then you have to take photos at the end to show whether it had an effect or not. And then they decide, did it have an effect or not? So, and then, so you got to show that, send them the before and after pictures. Then, of course, you got to send them also the product that you didn't use. And, I mean, they're just making you jump through a lot of hoops to get a refund on this product, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a big red flag. And honestly, a big no-no. If someone doesn't like a product, cut your loss. Don't make them mail the stuff back in and just say, hey, we're sorry, it didn't work for you. Give it to a friend or whatever. Don't, you know, make someone put it back in the mail. You can't do anything with it anyway. You have to throw it right. away. So they might sure. as well just put it in the trash, or who cares whatever they do for it. But don't make it so ridiculous. And also, what do they get to do with the before and after pictures?
I don't know. I guess it would publish them or...
Yeah, I hope they destroy them because, right. you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that's a little bit invasive.
So overall, I'm not a fan of the product or the perceived business practices. Now, maybe they're perfectly fine, but hey.
Yeah, I probably...
who knows?
It'd be a pass for me.
There you go.
Well, our second question is an audio question from a patron.
Yay.
Hi, Beauty Brains. My name is Leah, and I'm a patron from Denver, Colorado. I just finished listening to the last podcast on devices mainly, and I was wondering about electrocurrents. There is a device by some celebrity esthetician, and she has created Zip, which is a microcurrent, I believe, or maybe nanocurrent. I can't remember which one. Device, and it sells also for a couple $100s, and I was wondering about the efficacy of electrocurrents on skin. Thank you. Have a great day.
Well, Perry, I'd ask if you've ever heard about electrocurrents or microcurrents in the celebrity esthetician skincare world, but I'm going to guess you haven't.
I have not, but looking it up, I saw there's the Zip, the ZIIP Beauty, only $495.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. So I've had this done to me, microcurrent, when I go in for a okay. facial, and sometimes she'll do it kind of all over my face, not too often, but sometimes she will just do it where I have breakouts, and she says it helps speed up the time for the blemish to come to a head or prevents it, you know, if she drained it, prevents it from coming back or whatnot. And I always envisioned... I've never looked it up. I don't know why, so I'm really grateful Leah asked this question, but I've never looked it up. I just always envision this current pulsating through the cell membrane of the bacteria in my skin and basically rendering the bacteria useless, killing it, and helping my blemish heal or not linger
okay.
or not be recurring. That's what I always imagined. And you know, I like the way it feels. It feels like a little shock on my skin. It feels, kind of smells like electricity, which is fun.
A little ozone creating or something?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, looking through the research, that was pretty cool too, because, well, it seems a little mixed, but, you know, it also seems like there's something there. Now, I don't know about the difference between micro and nano and that kind of stuff, but it's mostly based on Hertz, right?
Yeah, well, she calls it nanocurrent technology, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Also, she won the 2018 Elle Genius Award that she called herself the Nikola Tesla of facialists.
Well, it makes sense, okay. right? He was into electricity.
He was the electricity guy. So what do we find? I did look into this, and there was an article published. It was a review paper. And so whenever you're looking into something that you don't know the topic very well, it's always worthwhile to look for a review article, because that's going to look at the current state of the technology. Do you see that? Current state?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it the nanocurrent state?
That's actually the problem I had when researching, because I'd be like electric current, and then it'd be like the current state of the industry, and I'm like, no, like, yeah, yes. Hertz, electrical or, pulsing, thank you.
Or making sandwiches with currents, yeah, it's like...
different spelling, but yeah.
Oh, all right, sorry. Well, I'm not a very good speller, at least. You know, someday I want to be a good speller. But I digress. So, looking at this paper, it's titled Effects of Electrical Stimulation on Skin Surface. And they go through and they say that there are some effects, it's medically used for a variety of things like nerve stimulation, for wound healing, and for drug delivery also. But the drug delivery was complicated, where you had to put the drug into a like a pad, and then the pad had a gel in it, and then you could push it through. So this doesn't look like they're doing any of that, right?
No. This is literally taking a little ring and wiping it over the skin as it's pulsating out electric current. It's to my knowledge, done on bare skin or over a sometimes they'll do it over a gauze thing that's laying on your face.
Okay. But the pictures in their website don't show any gauze, so this device doesn't do that.
Should we get it and try it out?
To get it and try it out. I fortunately or unfortunately, I do not have any to speak of at the moment. One of the things that did stand out for me in this research, it said, this review paper, it said, the current microcurrent stimulation technology has become more and more mature, but there are still problems in its research. The design of the experiment and the selection of the current parameters is not standardized and rigorous. So they're saying that, you know, maybe something is here, but based on the information that's available there, the science is still questionable.
Yeah, I saw mixed reviews on it as well in different papers. And there was even one paper looking at it against P. acnes, which is what I thought, this microcurrent was good for. And it just, you know, it wasn't necessarily a glowing review. They were looking actually at the pH potential across different cells. In looking at the website, you know, they have their model photography. Of course, these people are very young, great skin, definitely retouched on the screen. And they have, you know, of course, like regular users using it. But again, it's really hard to tell because this isn't standardized lighting or standardized photography conditions. In fact, some of the photos don't, it just doesn't seem like it could be unaltered. And usually results aren't this great, because if they were, more people would be adopting this, or your dermatologist would be telling you to go get this device and use it, right? So I think really there's more to be said here.
And one of the things that's a little concerning to me is the lack of papers that are published. And because this is a really easy thing to test, right? So you have a retinol treatment, or you have some sort of treatment. And one side you could do the treatment, the other side you could do the treatment with the microcurrent, and you could do double blind, it'd be hard to do double blind placebo, although you probably could do that if you have the device that doesn't give any electricity. I mean, as long as you can't tell whether it's happening, although you said you can kind of tell. Anyway, it would be a little bit complicated, but you could run this test very easily. And so I say, well, why haven't they run this test? Because and the answer probably is they have run the test and they didn't get good results, so they bury the results or file cabinet results.
And some of the testimonials are me after using the device for 5 minutes. Me and the person, you know, after using it one time, and the person looks like they're wearing foundation in the second picture and not the first. After using 1 year, 2 times a week, okay, I could see where that person may see a difference in their skin. Maybe it's other things, but I'm sorry, I don't believe in 5 minutes or one time. I would have to see the device and check it for myself. But not at $495, although they are having a Black Friday sale, 20% off. It's pretty tempting. Mr. Cosmetic Chemist did ask me what I wanted for Christmas. I initially told him nothing, which, you know, is a lie, obviously.
Sure,
I want something. You know that, you know that trap, right?
I don't fall for that trick anymore.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't know, but I'm secretly like, no. And anyway, he's, you know, that's happened to him before as well. So anyway, I don't want him to spend his money on this.
He's going to listen to the show. He's going to know.
He's definitely not listening to the show. So someone is going to have to drop Mr. Cosmetic Chemist a hint. But then also, I would be upset if he spent all this money, even at 20% off of $495, and I got it and it didn't work. And my suspicion is it's too good to be true.
Yeah, probably. So,
unless someone in our audience has used it and they can attest to it, then I will leave the webpage open in front of Mr. Cosmetic Chemist.
And I'll remain skeptical because you know what? If you spent $500 on a device, you sure as hell are going to see that it worked. It's easier to believe it worked than to believe that you've been duped out of $500.
Yeah.
All right, next question.
Hi, Perry and Valerie. I discovered your show while reading The Gospel of Wellness by Rena Raphael, and I've been catching up on all your episodes. As a former polymer chemist, I love the info on your show. My question about chemical exfoliation is the following. Products containing AHAs, such as the glycolic acid toner from The Ordinary, is used as an exfoliant. Retinoids are also considered exfoliants, and thus one could use Neutrogena Rapid Wrinkle Repair, which is a cream. Both of these are leave-on products. A product like Intensive Pore Exfoliating Treatment by Kate Somerville, however, is a wash-off product and a scrub. I would think that if an exfoliant removes dead cells, wouldn't you want it to wash off? How are the leave-on products shedding dead cells if they're not rinsed off? Thanks in advance, Christine.
What a fabulous question.
Yeah.
Because she's right. You know, if it's exfoliating, well, where's the taking off part? So how is a leave-on an exfoliator?
Well, first I'll say retinoids are kind of like a fake exfoliant. They don't necessarily exfoliate skin. They have to go into the skin, into the cells, and do what they do and increase cellular turnover, thicken the dermis. And that, in effect, kind of makes you think they're exfoliating because you'll peel, right? But really what your skin is doing is accelerating the turnover rate of cells. Whereas glycolic acid is going into the skin and it's kind of ungluing the cells within the skin.
Breaking down the intracellular cement matrix. And so the skin cells don't stick together as well. And so it's easier for them to fall off.
Exactly. But it's not really getting them off your skin unless the skin cells are naturally falling, which our skin does. Our skin sheds all the time, right?
Sure.
But a product like the Pore Exfoliating Treatment by Kate Somerville, which is a scrub with little, you know, scrubbies in it, that is going to physically push those dead skin cells off of your skin. So it's going to do it at a much faster rate of physically removing them than a leave-on chemical exfoliation. So I would, but on the other hand, the scrub may not prematurely loosen dead skin cells, you know, or dissolve the glue. And it certainly isn't going to increase cellular turnover in the same way that retinoids do. It's literally just sloughing off what can be removed. So in a way, I feel like you need both.
Yeah, they have different mechanisms by which they work. And I think the bottom line here is the difference here is, you mentioned it, it's the physical removal, and that's the scrubs. Scrubs are going to physically remove that top layer. These chemical ones, they take some time to work. So the chemical reaction isn't immediate. It takes a little time for it to get to where it needs to go, for it to have the chemical reactions. And so as that's happening, you need to leave that on. Now, eventually, to get the dead skin cells off, they're either going to peel themselves or you're going to wash your face and remove it maybe the next day or something like that. So you do eventually remove the skin cells. These just loosen it up. And so that's why the leave-on products can still be exfoliating.
Yeah. Now, I wouldn't do both in the same night. I definitely would probably use a physical exfoliant a little less just because of how potent it can be. Or, you know, and you don't want to strip yourself to the point where your skin's compromised. But I definitely would make sure you have both in your arsenal.
And salicylic acid is another one that can have an effect, but that's even more top down.
Yeah, and I actually like salicylic acid. I keep a little vial of it, of a little solution that I've made. And I just, you know, sometimes
I'll just take a little nip every so often.
Yeah, well, I just keep it, you know, by my sink. And, sure. You know, once or twice a week, I'll just kind of rub it on the areas of my face that tend to break out more. And it's I can always tell when I get to the end, one, I have crystallization occurring. And then two, I get a little more exfoliating because I think it's a little more concentrated than when I started out because of the evaporation. Because I use it with alcohol and ethoxydiglycol and that kind of stuff. So
that sounds like a Friday night. You get a little glass of wine, your little salicylic acid, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. Don't tell the FDA.
Right.
And that reminds me, I need to exfoliate. So thanks so much for that question, Christine.
Sure.
Perry, you probably need to exfoliate too.
I've been told by my wife. She says, I bought you that hyaluronic acid serum. Why aren't you using it? I'm like, I don't know. It's underneath the cabinet. I don't even think to open it up.
Oh my gosh. Mr. Cosmetic Chemist does the same. And now he actually has eczema really bad and he's getting a breakout on his cheeks. And I'm like, please use this cream I bought you. And he'll use like a pea size amount, rub it all over his giant hands, which also are dry. So the cream goes into the hands and then he'll like pat his face. Whereas I am like, no, this is how much you need to put on your face. And it's like 100
like a
times the amount he
tablespoon.
Would put on.
Yeah. Well, this way it lasts longer, right?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, all right. Looks like we have one more question here.
This comes to us from one of our patrons on Patreon.
Yeah, and if you want to support the show and keep it ad-free and allow us to, you know, say what we really think of all these brands, because, you know what, if we had advertisers, we might talk differently. But if you want to help support the show, go to patreon.com/thebeautybrains and subscribe at any level. And I promise you, one day soon, I'm going to put up like a video of us, but not today's video.
No.
Because Valerie didn't properly primp our
Oh
something.
My gosh. I have all this mascara under my eyes. I've been at the lab for the last 3 days. I have two giant projects batching like crazy. It's like insane. So,
you know, I have to say it. Knowing a lot of women in my life, I rarely hear them say, oh, yeah, I look good. Everybody always says, oh, no, that picture's terrible, and I can't let you show that to anybody.
Well, usually I don't mind, but today is not a good day. I'm feeling a little bald. It's not good. Anyway.
But it is a good day to answer Laura's question. And Laura says, thanks again for all your help in navigating the cosmetic jungle. I was at my eye doctor's office recently and picked up a brochure in the waiting room for 2020 Beauty Clean Sweep Mascara. The developer of this brand is featured in the pamphlet as saying, the ingredients are clean as well as beneficial to ocular health without causing irritation or sensitivity. I do have allergies, but I really don't see that this product differs from other hypoallergenic product claims. Have you heard of them and what do you think? Have you heard of 2020 mascara?
You know, I haven't, but it's interesting that they were at an eye doctor's office. And I found it a little confusing at first, but then I saw one of the claims that's being made, beneficial to ocular health. Feel like that's a pretty strong claim because it makes it sound like it's good for your eyes. Like this actually will be beneficial for your eyes should you put it on.
I think it's vague enough, though, that, you know, it could be puffery. Like, you could say, like, carrots are beneficial to your ocular health, right?
And guess what? I would eat them. And I do. That's why I eat them, because my mom told me so.
You know, one time I wanted to see if I could really turn my skin orange by eating carrots, and I ate 3 pounds of carrots in one day. And my skin didn't turn orange, so.
I had a friend who went on an all-orange food diet, and she was looking kind of orangey after a couple months on it. Anyway. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I just, the way it's written, I know it's really vague, but it gives the impression that it's actually beneficial for your eyes should you put it on. Yeah. And that's very different from being safe for the eyes. And they do make claims like safe for sensitive eyes, dry eyes, contact lenses. Ophthalmologists developed, maybe that explains why it's in the doctor's office, an ophthalmologist tested, which is a test that you can pay $10,000 to $15,000 for, and have an ophthalmologist, you know, make sure that it would be non-irritating to human eyes. They also did a consumer study of 14 eye care professionals. 100% says it doesn't irritate the eyes. You know, I'd like to know how they made that assessment, whether it was based on the formula or through some sort of small clinical trial with their patients. And 100%.
Yeah, what? If you tried like 10 people and 10 people didn't report, you're going to say it's 100% safe? That seems a little dicey to make a claim
like
that.
And then 100, well, yeah, I mean, it's like, well, okay, well, how did they make that judgment, right? Are they toxicologists? Did they review the testing data that an ophthalmologist tested and signed off on as well? Yeah, how did that happen? 100% also agreed the formula was long wearing and lasts all day. Now, I don't think you need an eye care professional to judge that. You just simply throw it on your peepers and make sure you don't look like me today.
You look good. but it's a cosmetic claim. So yeah, you know, anybody can make that. But I'm looking at their list of ingredients for the Clean Sweep mascara. And you know what I'm seeing?
What? Mascara ingredients?
Mascara ingredients, right? I mean, there's nothing in here that really looks that different to me. There's, you know, water, the acrylates copolymer, the synthetic beeswax. Yeah. I mean,
more copolymers.
Good ingredients.
Other waxes.
Good ingredients for a mascara, right?
Rayon and PVP, so it actually can help extend the look of your lashes.
Oh, I love PVP, polyvinyl pyrrolidone.
Yeah.
You know, that's the little polymer they use to keep the M on M&Ms.
It's edible? So, I feel like you told me this before.
It is.
But don't eat your PVP K90 20% solution. Do not do that.
I'm eating some right now.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it actually makes sense because I was like, what's on my finger the other day? I made a hair pomade. And it was a piece of dried PVP, and it did kind of look like the shellac over an M&M.
Oh, okay.
It did, yeah. Anyway.
Well, it was originally launched as a blood extender, so they put it into supplies of blood so they could last longer or go farther, right?
Very interesting. But otherwise, you know, there's some goodies in there that they talk about, hyaluronic acid, biotin, palmitoyl hexapeptide 12. As an aside, you know, the hyaluronic acid is likely doing nothing for your eyelashes.
Right. But it is being humectant, so maybe helps with moisturizing.
Maybe.
Although they have glycerin in there too, so you wouldn't notice the difference.
Yeah. And then the other thing is the biotin. It's for sure doing nothing in there. Biotin on hair doesn't do anything. And even if you ingest biotin, unless you have a biotin deficiency, it's also doing nothing for you as well. And the palmitoyl hexapeptide 12, peptides are really cool in products. And there are several peptides that can help with eyelashes. I'm not aware that palmitoyl hexapeptide 12 has any data on hair. You know, I thought it was for skin, but, you know, maybe there's a study I'm not aware of.
I mean, overall, it looks like a perfectly fine product.
I bet you it's a nice mascara. Nice mascara. Yeah, we'll have to.
Sure. And the container looks nice, but there's nothing special about it that's going to be better for your eyes, I think, than anybody else's mascara, right?
Yeah. You know, I will say they have some other products which are very interesting. I do like that the brand is 2020, like Perfect Vision, and that they are doing all this testing because, you know, eye testing, when you're looking at ophthalmologist testing and ocular safety, it's very expensive. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't do it, which is fine, you know, but the fact that they did it is pretty cool. And so they have that data there. I also like that they just tell you, hey, if you want to take this off, just grab your favorite oil and press it against your closed eyelid for 20 seconds versus saying, hey, buy this other product.
They're not talking like mobile oil, right? Like,
oh, my gosh. Of course you would say that. No. Your favorite plant-derived oil.
Oh, gotcha. Of course.
Although, they, you know, they say poppy seed oil, castor oil, and argan oil, or squalane. I do just want to point out that I wouldn't call squalane a plant oil because squalane is almost totally non-polar. And plant oils have some polarity to them. So it's a totally different chemistry, but I'm sure it'll work just fine.
Yeah, they probably tested it. Well, I know what we're going to do next time around the Black Friday is not let Mr. Cosmetic Chemist hear the show because you got a whole list of stuff from the show today.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't think I want any of it. I mean, I would try the mascara for sure, so maybe I'll pick some of that up.
Sure. Well, I hear the music.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Hey, if you get a chance, go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, or Spotify, too. I think there's reviews there. That's going to help other people find the show and ensure that we have a full docket of beauty questions to answer.
If you have a question, don't forget to record it on your smartphone and email it to thebeautybrains@gmail.com. That's going to help other voices get on the show and break up the monotony of us a little bit.
We don't have monotony. What?
I love hearing other voices, so...
Oh, we do love to hear the other voices, and it makes editing so much easier. And also, the Beauty Brains are on Patreon. If you want to support the show, keep us ad-free, and keep the opinions as unbiased as we can, go to patreon.com/thebeautybrains and join the 150 other people who have subscribed. Thank you to all those people.
And next month, not only are we going to have a special event for our patrons to thank you for your generosity this year, we are going to have 3 mega product giveaways from product that was gifted to me that I would like to share with the patrons because I have a lot of products to use, and Mr. Cosmetic Chemist made an ultimatum to me. And we're going to reveal what that is next week.
But none of them are the electric micro device that
no,
stimulates
that
your
I would
skin.
Keep. Yeah. Also, don't forget to follow us on our various social media accounts. On Instagram, we're at TheBeautyBrains2018. On Twitter, we're at TheBeautyBrains. And we have a Facebook page and TikTok.
TikTok, oh my.
TikTok,
well.
TikTok.
That's right. Well, I'm off to a wine tasting. Yay.
Oh, have fun with that. I'm going to finish working because it's still earlier in the day for me.
Excellent. Well, have a good one, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Thanks again for listening, everyone. And remember, be brainy about your beauty.
Thanks, everyone.
Kittens.